Anyway, so do you want to tell us a little bit about what you do at HP?
Hang on, let's start formally so we don't have to edit all this later. I'm going to be rude.
Yeah, sure.
So we're back at HP Discover, Steve McDowell and Matt Kimball.
All right.
So we're going to kick off with a conversation with Gary Thun, who's the VP and CTO of Software Defined and Cloud Group at HPE. Is that still your role?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do at HPE?
Well, so I help set technical directions, technology decisions, and also some of our architectural decisions for how we make everything fit together, work together. Obviously, with the focus on our software-defined infrastructure products and our cloud environment, cloud strategies and technologies as well. So my previous role, I was the lead design engineer for HPE Synergy, which is our kind of lead software-defined infrastructure product in the marketplace, which is a very successful product for us this year as well. So
when you think about, do you think about Synergy and SimpliVity in kind of the same paragraph, right? Or the same thought?
They're both software defined, so when we think of kind of the categories of that, within software defined, we have hyperconverged, which is what SimpliVity is built for, and so that combines compute and storage targeted for a virtualized environment and delivers a simple experience for that. Synergy brings together, we call it composable infrastructure, because it brings together compute, storage, and network fabric resources, but it does it in a way where it's not fixed together like kind of the old converged infrastructures would do. Rather, it does it where you have kind of pools of capacity. So you have pools of compute capacity, storage capacity, and fabric capacity. Mm-hmm. And then the reason why it's composable is because then you can go in and grab the amounts of capacity of the network storage and compute and stitch it together dynamically into the infrastructure that you need, whether it's for a bare metal or virtual machine or containerized environment, whatever it may be.
Okay, and then what was announced today was the Nimble DHCI, so kind of disaggregated HCI. Does it sit between those two, or how do you position that?
Yeah, so one way to think of it is physically it looks like a converged infrastructure that, the physical building blocks, but more importantly, the experience is more similar to like a hyperconversion, that it's a single experience to manage the compute and the storage together.
Okay.
And so that's a really interesting offering. We think it's got, a lot of
It makes a lot of sense. It's interesting that you're right. I can walk in and take my existing ProLiant servers in a VMware environment, attach some Nimble storage with this DHCI software. Essentially, I'm simplifying, right?
Yeah.
And create a HCI-like environment that, as you said, looks very much composed.
Yeah.
Going back to converged versus composable, because HPE is, you kind of led the way in this, right? Converged has been around for a while. So essentially what you're saying is composable is the kind of the management plane that allows you to take all of these physical resources and look at them as just merely pools of resources that I can assign to workloads on the fly and reprovision on the fly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think even the name itself should kind of give a clue. I mean, converged infrastructure, that's kind of implies a past tense.
Yes.
It's like, someone before you picked and chose the right components and put it together.
Right.
And that can be a good idea for like a very specific targeted workload or use case. It's like, okay, I can handpick the right parts and go. Composable, it really speaks to the future as possibilities, because now it's like, okay, well, what might I need to do with it in the future? And I can compose it into what I need it to be.
I sometimes think of Converge, and I think of the old reference architectures that the OEMs used to build and very specific for SQL warehousing or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, with Composable, it's, as I need, I can kind of create these instances on the fly.
Yeah, so you could think of a reference architecture almost can be reduced to a template that says, here's how I need to compose it.
Sure.
And then you don't necessarily have to specify, exact hardware configurations, everything connects together. Because in the composable world, in the Synergy one, is obviously, like I said, kind of our best one, but you compose not just, the server resources, but you compose how much disk capacity you want, how much storage, LUN capacity you want, how many networks do you want to connect and NICs, what images you want to boot to, so all the things that you need are completely composable and combinable into something you want.
So I know, okay, just one more follow-on to that, and then I'll give you the floor, so to speak. And I know you're the technical guy, the CTO, but have you, as you've seen kind of the uptake of Synergy in the market, Mm-hmm. Have you found certain verticals or certain kinds of companies, you know, are adopting it quicker than others? Or
yeah, so that's a great question. And so in one sense, I mean, Synergy is, I guess, horizontal in design.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've seen is the adoption of it is actually a little distinct. In some cases, it's for, you know, people will create some specific targeted solutions that really make a lot of sense to go do that. And some of them are industry vertical solutions, and so we kind of go one vertical after another and try to address the, you know, the specific needs of those. But the other thing, too, is also the usage of it. So the full composable capabilities some customers embrace rapidly. They're already, I'd say, kind of in a strong cloud and DevOps mindset.
Yeah.
And so they'll look and go, oh, so I could do something like take my VDI machines and at night recompose them into a compute node,
right,
and then run some analysis jobs overnight, and then before the people come back in the morning, flip them back to VDI.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so now you're like, hey, I just got, you know, I just got the equivalent of 50% of more compute capacity because I got the whole night time, you know, for
right,
free. You know?
Yeah.
So is it really that easy, or how much retraining do we need to do for IT or IT workers, right? Does it look like what they're used to dealing with, or is there a steep learning curve?
Well, technically, it's not difficult to do, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is the point of composable, is that you just go and say, all right, I just shut down the nodes, you know, with this one template, and then apply the new template and boot it up, and it just comes right up. And it's like, wow, that was like incredibly simple. The hard part is the people, you know, who are doing it don't always, you know, look at problems that way or see that. Or there may be, you know, some situations to say, well, these workloads just need to run forever, you know, as a static way. So so they can leverage and they get benefit out of the composing, but they're not necessarily going to recompose later.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, as it turns out, they still get value not only from the composing, but also the automated lifecycle management built in Synergy as well. So it's, you know, a lot of good things that they get from it. But the people who are really in kind of that cloud and DevOps mindset start immediately jumping to like, wow, I could really do all kinds of interesting things, you know, with this. So
when I think about composable, I think about a set of fungible resources, mm-hmm, right, maybe in my data center. All over this conference, we're hearing cloud, multi-cloud, public cloud integration. How does CI play in a multi-hybrid cloud world, or does it?
It does. So, you know, the one way to think of this as a composable infrastructure, everything I've described is actually API driven. So it's infrastructure as code, you know, is the way to think of it. And if an infrastructure as code environment, then you could also call it a bare metal as a service, cloud.
Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And so, it, in effect, this becomes the underlay for a private cloud that happens to have the exact same behavioral characteristics that you would expect from a cloud.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, so again, people who are building private clouds looking, oh, this is like the exact perfect thing that I need to do this, because now I'm not running into this problem of like, okay, I have this great fungibility until I hit the hardware and the infrastructure, and then suddenly like, okay, back to like really, you know, slow manual, you know, operations with lots of silos and everything like that, which is, you know, it creates kind of a point of friction.
Well, do you see those guys adopting converged infrastructure, the MSPs and folks of that sort?
We're actually, you know, so we actually are definitely seeing some adoption and I'll say not just MSPs, but I say people who think like an MSP.
Okay.
And so it could be an internal IT organization who recognizes that what they need to do is they need to be able to very agilely serve up the infrastructure to their users, their developers on demand.
Yeah.
So that's one.
Yeah.
It could be a company that is, you know, building out a large, you know, SaaS application that maybe is even a global application or something like that, where you have hundreds of companies or millions of users, you know, around the world. And so they behave like a cloud, but they may actually have to do their own cloud themselves versus use a public cloud for a variety of, you know, technical or other reasons to do it. So they tend to be in that mindset as well. And then you have, you know, MSPs who, you know, are in the traditional managed hosting business, and so then they look in and say, well, you know, this makes it easier for me to host the stuff because, one, I'm not making as much of an upfront commitment to what I'm actually constructing. which gives them more flexibility. Two, it's more automated, which lowers their costs. So, yeah. So I mean, I've seen this kind of across, you know, a variety of different kinds of customers. And not every customer, you know, is in that mindset. And so then kind of to the other, like, well, what about somebody who's still in a very traditional mindset and they're just like, I just need to deploy stuff and I've been doing it kind of the same way I've done it for a long time. They still get value out of Composable also. You know, so it just, they wouldn't get the full value out of it, but this still is like, well, this is easier than what you're doing before. It's more
from a management perspective, it's still easier, right?
Absolutely.
So do you find that deployments for specifically Synergy are kind of point next or partner driven? I have to think there's a level of complexity to kind of get up and running and hit that time to value kind of milestone.
Yeah, so that's a great question. We, you know, so point next, I think, is involved in probably a very significant number of our customer engagements. If nothing else, to, you know, customers oftentimes just say, well, look, you know, I don't set up infrastructure very often, so I'm just going to let somebody who does set it up, you know, frequently do it for me. Not that it's necessarily really hard to do, but it's something that if, you know, if you're not going to do it very often, what's the point in learning how to do it yourself? But the other thing that I think is actually even more exciting is we also see a lot of interest in our GreenLake services. And the neat thing is, you know, GreenLake is really about the financial side of using what I need.
Yeah.
And Synergy gives you the technical ability to use what I need and pay, you know, stuff like that. So when you marry those two together, then you're like, okay, so I make it very easy to turn on and off and use what I want and pay for what I want and not what I want. And so you know, we see some strong affinity between those two things.
And if I'm an IT organization, you know, you think about capability maturity, right? And I'm offering as a service out to my internal customers, I combine these two and I am truly, my billing mechanism, my chargeback, that's all so easy to manage.
Exactly, you know, and so the more they're thinking like I'm a MSP or service provider, even if I'm an internal IT organization, then they just intuit this. It's like, got it. Yeah, this is like what I want.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great.
So a big part of the value proposition of HCI and converged infrastructure and Composable is the abstraction, right? To what degree do we hide the personality of some of the underlying hardware? Specifically, I'm thinking about storage, right? So snapshots and replication, backup, disaster recovery, all of these sorts of things. You know, Nimble has a very different way of doing things than 3PAR, maybe, right? So when I'm building a Composable infrastructure, when you think about Composable infrastructure, how much of that do you abstract away? Or do you want to over time? Versus how much do I need to know?
Yeah, we actually abstract away a lot of that already today. So, you know, if you want to provision a volume, I mean, there's some parameters that you need to know, like how big is it, and, you know, maybe some issue, you know, things around service level or performance or something like that. But then the details of how you actually configure the array to, you know, create the LUN and stuff like that.
That's the stuff you're hiding.
You just hide all that completely. So it's just, I need something that looks like this, and then after that.
So it becomes a question, what's my capacity and my performance requirements? You
know,
we map the right hardware.
Yeah, do I want it to be, you know, snapshotted or you know, backed up and stuff?
Yeah, and I know we have to be respectful of your time, but so maybe kind of a good kind of lead in is, you know, you hear about the autonomous data center, you know, or and like kind of full autonomy, self-healing, self-optimizing. Where do you see Synergy and kind of Composable on that path to autonomy?
So that's a great question. I think the autonomy side, there's really kind of two parts. One is I call it, you know, kind of directed automation, and the other part is, you know, is machine directed automation. And the directed automation is really kind of where, you know, Synergy and things like that play in. Now, it is not the whole data center.
Sure.
Because there's other parts of the data center that you want to automate, and there's just a rich set of tools out there that are, you know, you call them orchestrators, config management tools, automation tools, you know, like Chef or Ansible or Terraform, you know, Perl, Python, Go. Yeah, I mean, just on and on, there's all these things. So all those things can integrate into our API. So we automate the infrastructure, but then what you can do is you can tie it into a larger, you know, data center wide automation thing. So we have Terraform providers and stuff like that that allow you to very easily automate the connections between those tools and this, and so you can automate everything that way. Now, the other thing is kind of, like I said, the machine-directed automation, and that's really where InfoSight comes in, where we can start pulling telemetry and data from really across the whole fleet, bring it into a single central data lake, and then use that to go and do additional analytics to determine other things you want to do to maybe even remediate issues, and identify an issue, remediate it, and then automate the remediation as well. So those two together really are kind of the 1-2 for getting that. And I think that the few years ago we'd say autonomous data center, people say it as like vision, but no one really believed it.
Yeah.
But you know what it looks like now is, I mean, we're looking and goes, you know, actually I can show you the point-to-point that is going to get us there.
Steve and I talk about this, back when we were at our startup in the late 90s, we talked about autonomous compute back then and building these rules engines you're talking 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And HPE is the company that's finally starting to deliver on that vision 20 years later.
Yeah, the rules engines, and I think the industry kind of played around that for a while, and what we found is, the way we're looking at the problem at the time, it was just difficult to make a sophisticated enough rules engine that people could also keep track of and understand and grasp at the same time. So, and then the other thing too is that, the automation was extremely hard to go do. And so we've invested a lot of time in really getting the directed automation real well. Mm-hmm. And then in parallel to that, the whole AI industry started to really figure out a lot of kind of smarter ways how to that, where instead of, trying to have humans discern all the rules and create sophisticated rules engines, they kind of program the whole thing themselves, let the machines figure it out.
And you've had a generational shift in the IT workers who are going to trust it more.
Yes.
Than maybe some
they
of the
just trust
guys
it now.
Would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right.
One last question for you. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, why HPE in the composable space, in the software-defined space?
I think we're very much leaders in this space, and I think if you look at what we have with composable infrastructure, I think we're clearly the leader there. Mm-hmm. In the hyperconverged, we are the fastest growing there as well.
Yeah.
So we're growing really rapidly in those spaces. You couple that with like GreenLake, offerings, and there really aren't any other players that have something like GreenLake together. And so we're able to start really bringing these technologies in some interesting ways together that helps customers with automation, helps them with security, with we haven't even talked about security.
Right.
Root of trust, silicon root of trust and such like that, that we're doing with that. It helps them with kind of consumption-based economics.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are the things when, actually I was just talking to a customer a little while ago, and he's like, there are three things I need to do. I need to automate everything. I'm really worried about security, and I got to figure out the different ways to consume stuff. I'm like, okay, those are our three initiatives.
Let's have a conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's kind of top of mind for customers. Yeah. And when you really dig into it, you're like, HPE is investing a lot in those areas, and really, frankly, we're leading. And it's being reflected in the adoption that customers are making of these key areas for us. So.
It's a powerful value prop for sure.
Well, Gary, thanks for taking the time.
All right. Well, thank you, gents, as well. Thanks for the time.
It's a busy conference for everyone.
So. Yeah, it's a good conference.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great.
That was
thanks.
It. Yeah. Gary, thank you.